Late Night Live. Ideas and opinions from around the world.
G'day, gladdies and poddies and noddies and everybody. Welcome to another week of Late Night Live. Thank you, Horace, for the introduction. I've just found out why this program is biased. I've just discovered, and this is true, that I've been wearing my headphones the wrong way around for years and years and years, and it's got left there and right there, and I've been wearing them the wrong way with the balance towards the left. Tony Abbott, as we know, likes swimming, and even more, he likes cycling, to the extent that he now recycles lots and lots of John Howard policies. Kevin Rudd has taken up the sport of bungee jumping. He leaps from dazzling heights, plummeting down until he almost splatters himself on the unyielding earth below. And the question now is, can he bounce back? I shall be asking Christian Kerr about all this because Christian knows everything. Canberra-based senior reporter for The Oz. Then, after a considerable absence, for which I apologise, we welcome back to the programme Ahmed Rashid, who knows more about the Taliban than they do. And we're going to round the evening off by talking about freshness, a perishable history, with Susan Friedberg, must check that, Professor of Geography at Dartmouth College. Christian, is it true that this is the last sitting of Parliament for the foreseeable?
It's the last week of the budget session. We go into a longer than usual winter break, so read into that what you want. It's 8 weeks rather than the usual six or seven. And, of course, from about end of July through into, if I remember correctly, about the beginning of September, we've got this fantastic seven-week window where you can either have the standard half-Senate, all-of-House of Representatives election, or a double dissolution. So if you were, you know, if you wanted to keep both options open, now would be the time when you'd consider acting on one or the other of them.
Can I ask you a personal question before we get on with the politics? What do people in the press gallery do during these long interregnum?
Well, look, I already, dare I say, I have my trainers in here, a rugby top, a thermal under vest, and I've got to get 7 kilos off. So one a week, I think, and 1 week to spare. But, you know, for this election campaign, heaven knows, it all goes out the window then, doesn't it?
It certainly does. But does the press gallery sort of write books and things during downtime?
No, we just invent leadership challenges, Philip.
Ah, right. Well, OK. Any shocks, dare I ask, in the latest news poll figures? Has the bungee jumper plunged even further, or has he bounced back just a smidgen?
Well, I was interested in that metaphor about bungee. He must be on a bloody long piece of elastic at the moment, or else we might actually have some strange sort of type of physics of pieces of long elastic that haven't really been tested. Now, OK, two-party preferred, Labour leads on that, but they've got a very, very low primary vote in news poll, 35%. Now, can you actually win with that? Preferences from the Greens, well, that should actually help get you up to about the 50% mark, the way the Greens are polling at the moment. But here's a fascinating angle. There is just some anecdotal evidence around at the moment that a few Greens voters are going to go on a suicide mission come the next election. They are sick of Labour having what's been called the protected left flank thesis. That is that, OK, we can afford to take some skin because anyway, if those votes go to the Greens, they'll come back to us in preferences. Now, these Greens voters apparently are saying, I don't care, I'm going to just vote above the line in the Senate. All I need to do is put my one on my ballot paper. We'll get a quota in the Senate in my state. I'll get a senator elected. The reps, well, I'm just going to put a one on the ballot paper too. I'm not going to allocate my preferences. Now, that will be an informal vote in the House where government is formed. It's interesting to hear people talking this way, and they are. It means that protected left-wing thesis just collapses.
I've just heard our Labour voting listeners moan in pain at what you've just said. Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, I mean, the Green voters, by and large, are a pretty intelligent demographic. It's a bit of a suicide mission, though, of course, for the Greens, because it means that they don't get They don't get a formal vote recorded, and that's got implications, I understand, for public funding for the Greens and everything like that. But, you know, if you want to make a gesture, it's a pretty dramatic way of making a gesture. And the Greens' real power always, of course, does lie in the Senate. If they're not helping Labor across the line, well, yeah, it's a pretty tough lesson for the Labor Party, but why not? I mean, I think this sort of support really has been largely taken for granted in Labor ranks ever since Richo fixed up those deals ahead of the 1990 election, and that's getting on to be a long time ago.
I wanted to give the news poll figures another close scrute. Do they really show Abbott closing the gap on Rudd as preferred PM, or is that a misinterpretation?
Well, I just think we need to look at the way people react to Kevin Rudd at the moment. And I mean, probably the two key words for most of this year have been deliverability and credibility. Now, it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation. What came first, the ability to actually see his policies through, or credibility, or how do they interact with each other? They're both very closely interrelated. It's really hard to know in many ways. But there's a third crucial word, and that crucial word is momentum. And Kevin Rudd, because of all these issues about deliverability, credibility, whatever, has really lost momentum. He needs momentum. Now, to keep going back to your sort of bungee metaphor, he really needed one solidly good poll. It would have been with one leap in his approval rating, he was free, that sort of thing. Now, instead, we've actually seen Tony Abbott close that gap. Now, of course, Tony Abbott hasn't actually done anything really much in public over the last couple of weeks. Now, you know, read into that and read into those news poll figures what you will. Obviously, you can't really get away with that strategy closer to an election or during a campaign itself. But something has really happened dramatically, I think, in Australians' relationship with Kevin Rudd. As one of those wonderful market research people, Nia Korn, has just said, Stroud, Australians have realised that they, you know, don't like Kevin Rudd as much as they thought they did. And when there's a little bit of that sort of backlash, well, there's a lot of irrational emotion involved in it too.
Well, he's lost a friend, and a very significant friend, in John Mendoza, who was, of course, the chair of the National Advisory Council on Mental Health, and who has now spat the dummy. I think that's a really big news story.
Well, I think that's a huge story because, of course, mental health is one of those incredibly significant policy areas in which is virtually anyone involved in the public policy space in any capacity knows the whole field is absolutely stuffed, is absolutely screwed, knows very well the degree of suffering that is involved with people who are trying to care for the mentally ill, who are mentally ill themselves. I mean, any of us who have ever had any contact with that area just knows so many stories. It is one of these enormous intractable problems. And Kevin Rudd had a really interesting pitch for no one ever running for the Prime Minister has ever had. And he said, make me Prime Minister because I am the process man. I know how to fix these problems. And we have had yet again a contemptibly mealy-mouthed response from his health minister over this. You know, she made the comment, not even she. She was too gutless to make the comment herself. It was the usual anonymous spokesperson for the minister said that the government had been frank with the Australian people, that when it came to mental health, and you guessed it, we'd have to wait for a second term. More would happen then. And I mean, again, this is just symptomatic of what always happens to governments with governments on these sorts of issues. Kevin Rudd's pitch was that I can deliver. I know how the machinery of government works. It's just got bogged down. It's back to deliverability. It's gone back to credibility. And if you don't have credibility, if you can't deliver, how the hell are you ever going to build up momentum?
Christian Kerr, Canberra-based senior reporter with The Australian, about to go on a crash diet. Late Night Live on ABC Radio National, Radio Australia, etc. Our old friend Ahmed Rashid joins us from Lahore.